From the studios of Boise State Public Radio, I'm Gemma Gaudette. When our summer intern, Jack Bevin, heard rumors that Yellowstone National Park could explode soon and start a new ice age, well, he had to find out if there was actually any truth to this. First, he had to find out if Yellowstone or any other volcanic formation in the Northwest, like Mount St. Helens, were likely to blow up anytime soon. And then he found himself learning all about volcanoes and geysers from a Boise State University graduate student and researcher. Maggie Hollihan has been listening to the sounds made by the Steamboat Geyser in Yellowstone National Park in order to learn more about it. And we're lucky enough to have her on the program. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you.
Okay, Maggie, I've read about this as well in the past. So let's just start with the big question. Is Yellowstone going to blow up anytime soon?
So no, Yellowstone is not going to blow up anytime soon. It could erupt, but it's very unlikely that that eruption is going to be the catastrophic super eruption type. Yellowstone hasn't erupted for 70,000 years, and the last 20 eruptions that have happened have actually been lava flows, which are not explosive eruptions. So we're not likely to experience any kind of very destructive caldera-forming explosive eruption at Yellowstone in our lifetime or in the next few centuries.
Okay, so how would you know then if Yellowstone was going to erupt? I mean, would there be any warnings?
Yeah, so there's a lot of important research being done on Yellowstone to monitor any changes to the volcanic system. So they different organizations like the Yellowstone Volcano Observatory and researchers at the University of Utah keep close tabs on earthquakes and ground deformation using seismic and GPS networks. So they are constantly monitoring Yellowstone's current volcanic activity level. So if something was out of the ordinary, scientists would know and communicate that with the public.
So what would happen if or when Yellowstone did erupt? And when we talk about erupting, I mean, the likelihood you said would be lava versus like a big, huge, you know, geyser exploding. So would Idaho be impacted if there was an eruption?
If there was a kind of lava flow type eruption that occurred, that would most likely just affect the bounds of where that eruption was occurring. So most likely just inside the park, not affecting any people in Idaho, because if it's just lava, it'll just affect wherever the lava is flowing.
Okay. So is there then a difference when we talk about explosion versus eruption?
There's explosive eruptions and effusive eruptions. And effusive refers to that lava flowing.
So I'm thinking of when we talk about the lava flowing, I believe it was, within the last 2 years that Kilauea on the Big Island had an eruption. And there was a lot, you know, and it really, the lava took over some towns. I mean, people lost homes. This is something though that you see, on the Big Island periodically. So is that kind of what you're talking about when we, if we're trying to visualize maybe what an eruption would look like inside Yellowstone?
Definitely. Yeah, that's a great way to, kind of picture it, is similar to the Hawaii style eruptions that we've seen, which still can be hazardous and destructive for local communities and any kind of infrastructure that's near where that eruption is occurring, but not on the scale of producing a bunch of ash or having kind of wider effects like an explosive eruption.
And I know you've spent time studying volcanoes that include Mount Shasta, which is in Northern California. So I'm curious, are there any volcanoes close to Idaho, like Mount Shasta or maybe Mount St. Helens, that look like they may erupt soon?
Well, there's nothing that is pointing to any eruptions soon, but Mount St. Helens is actually the most active volcano in the contiguous United States. So I'd bet my money on that one, but there's plenty of monitoring being done to ensure that we understand the activity levels of all the different volcanoes in the Pacific Northwest. Some of the high threat potential volcanoes in the Cascades include Crater Lake, Glacier Peak, Mount Rainier, and Mount Hood. And that's based on how they've erupted in the past and how close they are to high population centers.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to date myself here a bit. I was 8 years old when Mount St. Helens erupted, and I lived about 90 miles from it. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, I was little. So, I mean, the memories I have are waking up and wondering why the night was going on so long, because it was
wow.
so dark. Yeah. Wow. And my cousin was over. I have a cousin who's the same age. She was over spending the night. Finally, my mom comes in and she's like, girls, get up. And we're like, it's the middle of the night. She's like, no, the mountain erupted. And we were so excited. We run out, you know, into the living room. My parents had these floor to ceiling windows, and it looked like it had snowed, except it was all gray. And
wow.
The best part for me was that we got to get out of third grade about a month and a half early. So,
oh my gosh. Wow. So what an experience. That's amazing.
Yeah. So to have gone through something like that, and then you see, I mean, there was a pile of ash along I-5 between Portland and Chehalis, where I grew up, that over the years dissipated, but it took decades for this ash to go away. And frankly, it's still there. So when you talk about something like Mount Hood, Mount Rainier, you know, I mean, Mount Hood's right by Portland, Mount Rainier is by Tacoma and Seattle. Those could be big catastrophic events.
Definitely. And there's a bunch of different types of eruptions that could occur that would create different kinds of hazards apart from ash, so that we could have an eruption, maybe like a lava flow that melts glaciers on Mount Hood and can create a volcanic mud flow that would affect communities downstream towards Portland. There's definitely a lot of different things that can happen from a slew of different types of eruptions.
Mm-hmm. And I know you've done research on Mount Shasta, and then you've spent time at Mount St. Helens. Can we talk a little bit about your research with Mount St. Helens in particular? Because, I mean, you know, the top is blown off of St. Helens. I mean, there's a crater. And, you know, was this something, I mean, vaguely what I remember is they were watching this, but did anyone expect it to do what it did?
So that's a great question. You know, there were plenty of researchers and emergency managers out there for weeks kind of preparing for mm-hmm. what was going to happen at Mount St. Helens. But that leads into sort of the point of how unexpected it can be when a volcano does erupt. We have all these different types of monitoring tools focused on various volcanoes, but when it comes down to activity beginning, there's not a sort of set way a volcano will erupt. There's a lot of different styles, and it's never the same. So what scientists can do is learn from the past and use that to be as prepared as possible for the future. And so that can mean understanding how the volcano has erupted in the past by looking at deposits. So if we see ash deposits or other indicators of an explosive eruption, they can prepare for potentially that style of eruption. But when it comes down to it, using tools like seismic and data and earthquake data and ground deformation or GPS data can help isolate where certain areas might be prone to, you know, lava flowing or an mm-hmm. eruption centering around.
So let's talk right now about what you're studying. And you are studying the world's tallest active geyser. It's called Steamboat Geyser. It's in the northern part of Yellowstone. So first, let's talk about what a geyser is, how it's created, and how it's different from a volcano.
Definitely, yeah. So a geyser is a hydrothermal feature. They're super rare. And the majority of geysers are actually in Yellowstone, which is great since we're so close to it. And it's defined as a sort of erupting feature of hot water and steam. And what's pretty cool about geysers is, compared to volcanoes, some geysers do mm-hmm. erupt fairly regularly. There's Old Faithful, probably one of the most well-known geysers in the world, that has this super regular eruption cycle. And that's a little different from the geyser I'm studying, which is Steamboat Geyser. And it is, yeah, the world's tallest geyser. It erupts with these huge, tall columns of water and steam that can be over 300 feet tall. And it's kind of sort of the opposite of Old Faithful in that when it's not in an active period of erupting, it could be weeks, months, years, decades in between an eruption. So my research again is focused on Steamboat Geyser because it just started this active period back in 2018, where we get these consistent eruptions about once a week on average, and more in the winter, a little bit shorter in the summer. So it's the perfect opportunity to monitor what's happening with the world's tallest geyser.
So are you hoping that your research at Steamboat can help scientists maybe have a better prediction of when volcanoes might erupt?
Maybe not a better prediction of when volcanoes will erupt, but the tool I'm using is a type of acoustic monitoring called infrasound. And I'm using that to characterize the geyser's eruption dynamics and specifically the surface sort of eruption column. And that could be applied to understand volcanic eruptive columns a little bit better because they don't happen all that frequently. And it's pretty hard to understand what's going on in a very, very dangerous, hazardous volcanic eruptive column. So because geysers erupt fairly regularly and more regularly than volcanoes, it could be a great analog to potentially understand the very hazardous volcanic eruptions.
So if you're going to visit Yellowstone, best geyser to go see? I mean, I've seen Old Faithful. I mean, is that kind of the one to see?
If you can catch it, I mean, Steamboat is very tricky to see. That is a very impressive geyser eruption. But if you want something that has more consistency to it, I also really like Lone Star Geyser. It's a little bit of a hike away from crowds, and you get to feel like you're out in the woods with you. Sometimes you can get out there and be totally alone or with only a few other people watching this great, cool cone geyser erupt.
Okay, so a couple questions before I let you go. Is it true that there's actually a geyser in Yellowstone called Pork Chop?
Yes. So there is a geyser called Pork Chop Geyser, and it is actually a really cool feature because it had what is the most common hazard to occur at Yellowstone. It happened in 1989. It's actually a hydrothermal explosion happened at Pork Chop Geyser. So Pork Chop blew up back in 1989. And what happens with a hydrothermal explosion is it's essentially a giant geyser eruption that happens in the underground plumbing system. And you get basically hot water flashing to steam, which blasts rocks from above because there's a sort of volume change underground from that hot water to steam. So yeah, it does happen. And it's most likely that if there's going to be a hazard happening at Yellowstone, it's probably going to be a hydrothermal explosion.
Gotcha. Okay. So last question. I know we talked about, you know, is there this possibility that the Yellowstone would erupt? You said we don't need to necessarily worry about that. But if it did erupt, you know, there's this other idea that, oh my gosh, it's going to cause another ice age. True or false?
I would say most likely false because, again, we don't know what scale of eruption that would be. So if it was an explosive eruption, it might not be that much material ejecting out, and we might not have that much ash reaching to far reaches of the world. So again, I would not say that an eruption at Yellowstone will cause an ice age. It's hard to say and hard to predict.
Well, I want to thank you so much for this conversation. Super interesting what you're doing.
Yeah, thank you so much. It's great to talk about it. And if you have any other questions, you can also find plenty of information on volcanoes at usgs.gov/volcanoes. And if you want to know more about Yellowstone, usgs.gov/volcanoes/Yellowstone would be a great link.
I love it. Well, I want to thank you so much for coming on the program. We've been talking with Boise State University master's student and researcher Maggie Holohan about her research on the Steamboat Geyser in Yellowstone National Park. We also want to give a big special thank you to our summer intern, Jack Bevan, for producing our segment on Yellowstone volcanoes and geysers. You can see a picture of Steamboat Geyser on our website, boisestatepublicradio.org.